To order, this is the special planning and zoning meeting. Today is Tuesday, August 25th. It is 7:35 PM. Please rise for the Pledge of Allegiance. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Will the clerk please call the roll?
Ted Estuan.
Here.
Steve Jalowick.
Here.
David Kopchansky.
Here.
Raul Sanchez.
He is just logging on, so you can call him at the end again, just as soon as he gets processed.
Albert Miskiewicz.
Here.
Len Stevens.
Here.
Ray Sadlick. Cindy Anopic.
Here.
And Raul, did you get there yet? Oh, I see him. I'll mark him as present.
Okay, we'll move on to the next item. Item number four, additions, deletions, corrections to the agenda. Because it's a special meeting, I don't have any, but however, I would like to change the order up a bit of 9A, B, and C and move it to, we can do C, B, then A. Motion to change the order. Is there a second?
Second.
Second, and any discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Communications? I don't have any. Public portion. Is there anybody from the public who wishes to speak on something on the agenda? Please.
I do.
Oh, go ahead.
Well, my name is Tom. Tom Linetti, 79 Sunset Drive.
Hi, Tom.
How you doing, Teddy? I want to talk about this access road going from the Ansonia High School parking lot. And I hear it's going to exit on Sunset Drive. I don't know all the details, obviously, because this was sprung upon me as well as a lot of other people. But first of all, I don't know if you know, but Sunset Drive right now is like a highway. Nobody stops for these stop signs. We had the cops up here many times because what they do is they come from Hilltop of Ansonia, Sunset Drive, down to the shop at Lowe's or Big Y. So this is like a track, a racetrack. If you put a road coming from the high school back on Sunset Drive, we're going to end up with twice as much traffic. So, and another thing about this project, what the heck is Derby getting out of this? You want to give them a special, an access road, but why? They can go on Crescent Street. They come out of the back of the lot. I was up there today. You walk up and you take a left onto Crescent. Why can't they exit there? Why do they got to exit in Derby? If this is an emergency exit, well, that's where they should exit. It's Ansonia High, not Derby High. So I hope this board really thinks about the traffic and everything else up here before they go let our brothers from Ansonia take over for a buck. So that's all I got to say. Thank you.
Thanks, Tom. Would anybody else from the public like to address the commission at this time?
Yes,
yes,
Gary and Karen Laney.
We're 93 Sunset Drive. We kind of feel very much the same as Tommy feels, that this is going to add a lot of traffic. If younger adults are going to be leaving that school, I could just see them peeling out down the street like it's a little strip runway.
There's a lot of young kids here, too, new families have moved in with young kids riding their bikes around here. We've seen that a lot this summer.
Yeah.
So that's a concern also.
Yeah, I mean, the roadway itself, if that thing's paved, it's going to act as a drain, and the drain's going to go right down towards the reservoir. That's another concern.
And the crime, worried about crime.
We've personally experienced some crime in our neighborhood, and that would just that would be another access and egress for someone to get in and out. And another thing, Bradley Terrace. Would that remain opened up to the high school as well? Because I know that there's a lot of people over there that are very concerned about that. There's a lot of younger children on that street. That's a major concern from them as well. And we did notice that Plasky Highway just received sidewalks. So are we to consider that we are now going to lose 6 feet of our front lawn to sidewalks on Sunset Drive and as well? So I think that's that.
That's all our concerns.
Yeah.
Thank you for listening.
Yes. Thank you very much. Anybody else from the public like to address the commission at this time?
I will. I'll be really brief. So I'm Christopher Smith. I live at 113 Sunset Drive. So near Gary, near you, and Tom right down the street from you. Tom actually stopped by earlier today to let me know about the meeting and to just ask me to speak out in support of him and the neighbors. We don't have young kids yet. We're actually scheduled to get married soon, in about a month. If all things go according to plan. But we're concerned. I'm concerned about the traffic because I'll just speak out in support of what Tom said just about the cars. We have a dog that I walk pretty frequently, and cars do fly by in both directions. They don't really stop at the stop signs as often as they probably should. So I think my concerns are just about the traffic, as Tom and Gary said.
Thank you. Anything else?
Yeah.
Hi.
Is there anybody else from the public? Would you like to address the commission at this time? Yes, sir.
Yeah. Go ahead. Yeah. Can you hear me?
Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, this is Mike Golden. We live at the end of Bradley Terrace, the dead-end street that's been for a very long time. I guess I go back to, besides seconding, thirding, what everyone's saying here. Back when the high school was built, when did they think of this beforehand, way back then, and just plan for an emergency exit back then? I mean, it just seems like poor. Now you're what? 20 years down the road, and now they want to destroy what's there already? Just doesn't, you know, I don't fathom the perspective to that at all. Okay. And I must have missed something because when I was looking at the proposed map, I mean, I want to show you everyone's correct that this thing goes all the way up. They want to exit all the way out up on a Sunset. Is that what they're proposing?
We're going to hear about it later on this evening at the meeting.
Okay, well, so you don't know if that's true or not. They want to exit all the way at Sunset. They want to exit the Bradley Terrace. We're not sure of that yet.
You're gonna again, it's an item agenda on our agenda, and you'll hear about it during that time. We're taking all your questions now, and I'm sure there's somebody from the applicant who will address it.
Okay.
And then
we'll address it then.
Again, since it's an Ansonia High School, it should be Ansonia, not to Dorbe. I agree with Tom Leonetti.
Okay. So we have to say. We'll wait till later on.
Okay, is there anybody else from the public who would like to address the commission at this time?
This is Diane DiMino. I just have one question. I own a home at 82 Sunset Drive. Will we have an opportunity to ask more questions later once we hear the proposal?
It's not a public hearing, so that's why you're addressing your questions at this time. So this way we take them all down. There's somebody from the applicant who will address the commission and tell us what they plan on doing and what's going on. That's why during the public portion, we ask for your input now if it's on the agenda item so we can make sure that the applicant who's listening can address your concerns at this time. Okay. So if you have any concerns, I'd address us at this time. It's a referral. It's not a public hearing.
Yeah, I just wanted to add one more thing. It was Gary Laney at 93. Okay. One of the other questions would be, who would be responsible for the, you know, the taxes, the maintenance of the road, the plowing, and that's another concern for us, that taxes are high enough. So, thank you.
Thank you.
Hi, this is Rich on 138 Bradley Terrace. One of the questions I have is, what's this going to do to the real estate market on our street? One of the reasons is because a lot of people bought houses on here because they have young children walking around playing in the neighborhood. If they open up the roads, that's going to have an effect towards the children that are in the neighborhood and stuff. So that's one of the concerns I have.
Okay, thanks, Rich. Is there anybody else from the public who would like to address the commission at this time? And any items on the agenda?
Yes, Karen Chemises, 25 John Street, also speaking on this co-lane proposal. Being that you're getting so many people concerned about it, I would hope that you would not act on this proposal this evening, because we are have not even seen the plans. So that makes it very difficult for us to bring forth any qualified comments. With that said, though, I did do research. I see that there was discussions at the Ansonia Wetlands, discussions at the Ansonia Planning and Zoning. It's reached out to our wetlands agency, and apparently there might have been some informal conversations. But my concerns are that what you're proposing with that easement, it seems to be quite aggressive for an area that we cherish up there on the hilltop that's called Whittock Park, that when it was purchased for open space. When the fields were built on those, on the land there, the stipulation was clearly in the original deed of the purchase that no more than 10% of any activity would occur on that land. The fields, the road, the new parking lot in the front, all fall within that 10%. And what you're proposing here seems to be encroaching even further into active activity in an open space area. It seems that there should be more of the plan and possibly a much more favorable thing that would save the environment. I walked that area and the grade there is tremendous. It looks like there must be a 100-foot drop from the beginning of where this design starts to where their proposed easement ends. So any water flowing there flows with great velocity. And clearly there's problems there already. For you to be creating more problems by paving it, widening it, and seeking to cut down all kinds of trees in a half acre lot seems to be far more aggressive than what needs to be done. Now, granted, there is a problem there that exists previously because roads were built and they were just apparently directed towards that open space. But I think that Derby is not making a good decision with doing it without letting us hear a little bit more, without reducing the scope of the easement, certainly putting limitations on the use so that vehicles maybe can go on the co-lane right of way, but certainly not in that whole area of easement. So I hope that you would consider all those comments. I hope that you would come forward with a plan for next month so that we would have time to review it more thoroughly. Thank you.
Okay, first of all, I want to address one comment that you made through this. You referred to it a few times that we proposed and our proposal and what we proposed on paving and widening of the road. This commission did not propose anything. We're just hearing it on the referral from the Board of Aldermen or its agent, who will speak to it this evening. So we didn't propose, and let the record state that we didn't propose anything. We don't propose anything. We're here to hear it, like all the concerned citizens, for the first time this evening. And if we have concerns and we will address, and those concerns need to be addressed, we will carry it over to our next month's meeting. The reason why it's included in a special meeting this month is because I inadvertently left it off the agenda last month, and I didn't carry it over from a prior request. And that's why we're having the special meeting. So we're hearing it for the first time from the applicant or the agent for the applicant or for the city. So I just wanted to be clear about the record that we didn't propose it. Anybody else from the public like to address the commission at this time? Anybody else from the public?
Mr. Chair.
Yes,
yes sir.
My name is Mark Garfalo. I'm the town clerk and resident of 95 Academy Hill Road. And I wanted to speak on these three issues that are here before you, 9A, B, and C. The first one being the easement. And I just want to be clear, and sorry I didn't ask this to you prior to the meeting, but is this an 824 referral, or what is this? How is this being acted on? Because I'm not actually sure on that.
I was asked to add it to the agenda by our corporation counsel as a referral from the Board of Aldermen. That's all I was asked to do, so I added it to the agenda to this meeting. So I'm hearing it for the first time.
As an 824?
As a referral. as a referral to this commission.
Mr. Chairman, just point of information in response to the question. This is an 824 referral, and it seems, just for purposes of clarification to the general public who have been raising some concerns, the purposes of the 824 is that it's a statutory requirement, and all the zoning commission tonight, if they act tonight, they will either give an affirmative referral or a negative referral. The importance of that is when the matter goes back to the Board of Aldermen for action, and the action would be whether or not to grant the easement, an affirmative report only requires a simple majority of the Board of Aldermen, and a negative report would require a supermajority of the Board of Aldermen for the Board of Aldermen to continue to act. So even if there were a negative referral out of this body, the Board of Aldermen could still act, but they would require a supermajority. So when people are talking about looking at plans and things of that nature, that's not what is before this body at this moment. All that is before is a referral from the Board of Aldermen pursuant to 8-24 of the General Statutes for a report on the proposed granting of the easement. Anyone who has a question beyond that, that you can say what you want, you also have the opportunity to raise your concerns to the Board of Aldermen when it's on their agenda.
Thank you.
Okay, thank you for that clarification, Counselor. So as it relates to, and so one thing is, you know, it just, this is just my opinion in terms of form, this has not been before the Board of Aldermen before your meeting tonight. So to me, if they wanted to refer it to you, then it should have been an affirmative vote of the Board of Aldermen to ask for that referral. They didn't. I know it could be done that way. It could be done this way.
Just a point of information on just a clarification on that is an 824 is a procedural part of the advancement of an issue and a municipal improvement for the sake of the conversation. And there's no right or wrong way, if you will. It could have gone to the Board of Aldermen first. They could have voted to send it for an 824. However, I have since my appointment as Corporation Counsel routinely referred this procedurally to avoid that extra action by the Board of Aldermen. It then goes back. The only effect that this vote has is, or this report has, is on the vote at that body at that point. So this is not affecting the Board of Aldermen's ability to reject or to approve. It's only really settling the number of votes that are necessary at that meeting. So I have viewed it as a procedural matter. And so the administration routinely has sent 824s through the chair to this body for action. And we have not, since I'm Corporation Counsel, ever done it by way of the Board of Aldermen. Although what I will do is the next time I see the president of the Board of Aldermen, I will discuss this issue with him. And if this is a procedural matter that he would like to change, I will follow his lead.
Thank you for that as well. That's just my opinion on it. However, relating to this easement, I just urge you to review it very carefully. I remember on the first Monday of January in 1998, when the work started for the Ansonia High School, there were tractor trailer trucks lined up on Bradley Terrace, and the city of Ansonia did not notify the city of Derby. So that's a highly long-standing residential neighborhood, Sunset Drive, Bradley Terrace, Kings Court, Hillcrest, the streets and the residents of that area that would be affected by increased traffic in that area. And I just urge your careful consideration on this matter and its long-term impact of one step closer to improving that road to then saying it needs to be opened up as another road. And it's yours decision, but also the Board of Aldermen's decision. But as the planning body, I just urge you to look at this very carefully and consider the things that the other people had said tonight, and also the planning function on this and how it relates to traffic flow, security, and the quality of life in that neighborhood. So on 824 for 9 Minerva Street, that's right in the heart of our downtown area too. again, just my thought for the record, procedurally, in terms of the sale of that property, it's could be a strategic piece of property that we should not be in a rush to sell, as it could be beneficial to a larger development and not just to put it out on the market. Because my fear is we've sold other properties at way below market value, and then people have turned around and sold them to make a big profit on them. So I feel that we just need to tread carefully on that sale of that Minerva Street property, as it is right within our downtown area.
Okay, again, let me interrupt just for a second. Yep. Mark, for clarification to those who are attendance of the meeting, the Planning and Zoning Commission has no power in any way, shape, or form and jurisdiction over the sale and use of municipal property. That is all done by the Board of Aldermen. They're just looking to us for a referral as if we have any long-term plans, deeded open space, et cetera, that we should use it for something else. We have no say in what they do with the property. Your beef would, or your questions would be particularly driven at the Board of Aldermen, not for the Planning and Zoning Commission. That is outside our jurisdiction. And correct me if I'm wrong, Corporation Counsel, but the way I see it, it's not for us to say.
But with your planning hat.
The statute requires, if I could just answer the question, the statute requires an 824 referral before the sale of any property, municipal owned property. So while the chair is correct that the zoning commission per se does not have any direct control over the ultimate disposition, the zoning commission's limited involvement is to issue a report, and so obviously can look at the subject parcel in accordance with its POCD and see whether or not in its opinion, whether or not the sale is appropriate or not. But if it said no, it doesn't mean that the Board of Aldermen still cannot sell the land. It just means that they need a supermajority. So at the end of the moment, again, this is a part of the process, but the ultimate decision is with the Board of Aldermen.
Well, thank you very much, Council, for that. I just want to make it clear, because there's certain things that have been said by yourself, Mark, and previously that are kind of pointed at the commission. I want to understand there's no misconceptions by the public, because there's a lot of people from the public on here, and I don't want them to walk away with, the Planning and Zoning Commission decided to do this. We're not deciding to do anything. We're just giving our opinion as we move forward and through these things. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Correct. No, I'm happy to.
That's it. It's real simple. It's cotton dry. Thank you.
And then anything else? One other item is the matter of the Bad Sons Brewery, the discussion on the expansion of the kitchen and the other areas like that. Again, glad that they're here, hopefully before they did the work. And there's a clear track record. And it seems like there's a pattern in town where there's people just doing what they want without asking approval and then coming back to this board in a kind of a backwards approach to some of this stuff. So I hope that you will carefully consider the impact of this. I know it's an informal discussion, but the impact of that in not expanding the use so that it encroaches again in another residential neighborhood. So I just ask you to use the tools in your toolbox to make sure that the neighborhood is protected. And we're certainly glad to have Bad Sons here. But we also need to make sure that the neighborhood is treated with respect and the impact of those businesses and the residents can live in harmony. But it's our job as the city to protect their interests as well. Thank you, Mr. Chair and members of the board.
Thank you. Anybody else from the public like to address the commission at this time?
Yes, Teddy, I want to talk again, please.
Sure, go ahead, Tom.
Listen. First of all, I just want to say, when I listened to Mr. Garofalo speak just now, he did an excellent job. First of all, he mentioned about the Board of Aldermen, how it went to the Board of Aldermen, and then it came to you people. And then our Corporation Council, Mark came and said to the Corporation Council, It never came to the Board of Aldermen. And then our corporation council says, oh, it didn't. We could do it this way. So what I'm trying to say is I was on the zoning board myself. So there's something about this that something doesn't smell right with this. I mean, how the Board of Aldermen didn't get it, how you said it went through there, it didn't go through there. Thanks, Mark. Teddy, you said that you just heard about this today or the other day. But you also said earlier that the reason why you have an emergency meeting is because you left this off the agenda last month. Well, make up your mind. Did you either know
about it? Excuse me, Mr. Lionetti. Let me address that.
I'm talking. Let me finish, then you can answer. So what you said, Teddy, was that you didn't know you left it off the agenda. So this had to be an emergency meeting? This doesn't constitute emergency. I mean, you can ask the Corporation Council on that. So you either knew about it last month, and then you just telling everybody you found out about it 2 days ago. Which is the truth? That's all I want to know. Now you can talk.
First of all, I left it off the agenda. I was asked for a referral last month, and I forgot about putting on the agenda. As far as opening up and seeing what's before us now, I did not open anything up. I don't even know what the referral is, but I was asked to put it on the agenda by our Corporation Council. So this is the first. I haven't even looked at it. I have not looked at this yet. I'm going to see it the first time tonight. I heard about it from the Corporation Council because he sent an email to me to add it to the agenda, and I left it off the agenda. This is not an emergency meeting, and no way, shape, or form does it say on top of this Planning and Zoning Commission meeting that this is an emergency meeting. It says only it's a special meeting.
Why would you have a special meeting if it's not important? Why would you wait until next month?
You're entitled to your opinion, Tom.
No, I'm only asking. I mean, is there something going on around here that we don't know about? I don't know. All right, hey, Ted, listen. You know what the interests of the people up on the hilltop are. Your board carries a lot of weight. I was on it. Okay? If you highly recommend to stop this project, you're doing the right job. If you don't, you should think about resigning. Thank you. That's all I got to say.
Mr. Chair?
Ben? Yes, sir.
Sorry, Andrew Backwood, 501 Roosevelt Drive. I'm also the chief of staff for the city. I'm fairly familiar with all three items in the agenda. While I understand and appreciate everybody's worries on Hilltop and especially on Sunset and Bradley, let's hear what the proposal is because none of us know what it is yet. Everybody's going crazy here. Like, what are we doing? I love Tommy. I love Mark. I love you, Ted. Let's hear what this proposal is. It could be nothing. It could be a drainage easement, for God's sake. So let's all, like, let's let cooler heads prevail. Let's hear what Mr. Smith from the applicant has to say. In terms of Bad Sons, they already have an approved kitchen. This is just an FYI, so I applaud Bill Da Silva and those guys for being here to give some information to the commission because, as Mark noted, there was some previous order of operations confusion. And then the other one, the Minerva Street, I agree with also with Mark. We're in no rush to sell it. I think this is a procedural matter for us to get this I dotted and T crossed so that if there is an opportunity to sell it to a reasonable and good buyer for the city's purposes in downtown, great, grand, wonderful. If there's not, we've already crossed this administrative hurdle that could jam us up. So that's it. Let's hear what the applicants have to say. And my suggestion, Ted, just from being a part of public meetings for the last 2 years, maybe allow people to have some follow-up questions when the agenda item hits. Particularly Ms. Domino, I know, kind of asked for that. Maybe that would alleviate some of this problem because I have a feeling that once people hear what the applicant has to say in terms of emergency access and egress to the high school, there might not be as much pushback. So let's let cooler heads prevail and not be calling each other names. That this is what Derby constantly does, and I'm like ashamed to be a part of it half the time.
Thank you. Very much true. And this might not be an action item this evening. I wrote down everybody's comments in pages of, and I'm going to listen to what the applicant has to say. And we'll go from there. If there's bullet points that they haven't addressed, I'm going to make my comments that we don't do anything about it tonight. But I want to hear what they have to say first. The reason why I asked for comments in the public portion is because it's not a public hearing. So typically in a public hearing, we ask them to reserve their comments for when we open the public hearing so they become a matter of public record. But because it's not a public hearing, we've asked them for all their comments in advance. So this way, at least when we hear it, the applicant hears the concerns of the residents of the city of Derby first. It's procedural, and that's all it is. Okay. Anyone else from the public like to address the commission at this time? Anybody else? Okay. The public portion's closed. Approval of the minutes of the 8/18/2020 meeting. I don't remember if I send it out to everybody yet. We can wait till next month. In our regularly scheduled monthly meeting.
Motion to table the next month.
Seconded. Any discussions on the motion? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Receipt of new of applications. There are no new applications. Next is new business. 249-251 Roosevelt Drive, Bad Sons Brewery. Informal discussion on the kitchen expansion. Is there somebody from the applicant who wishes to address the commission at this time?
Yeah, hi, Ted. It's Bill DeSilva. I'm from Bad Sons.
Hi, Bill.
How's everybody doing?
Okay.
Thanks for having me.
What are you trying to do here?
Well, it was originally in the original plans. The kitchen was on the original plans. We built the structure. We just never finished the inside out. Meaning we just didn't put a hood in. We decided we weren't going to do a kitchen ourselves at the time. And that's when we paired up with Dewdrop and Roseland and Maddie's to bring their food in and also did the food trucks. Over the time, you know, it's been very tough to get food trucks, especially during the summer, because, you know, we'll get one food truck on a Friday night and they'll have a party, so they'll decide that they can't come in because they make more money at a party. So it really was just a scheduling nightmare. And it was always last minute. We'd have to call somebody else, have somebody come down. But our relationship with Roseland really blossomed. And we talked to Roseland Pizza, who we're proposing, that's who's going to be coming in. And they'd have a satellite store. But we're not changing anything. All we're doing is I called Carlo and said, Carlo, we're going to put a hood in and everybody will come down and pull whatever they need. Asked him exactly what he wanted. The structure's been built. It's been there since day one. It was on the original plans, marked as a kitchen. So it was always approved from day one. We just didn't build out or use the kitchen. The other thing, so we're just switching food trucks and Roseland delivering to them actually producing pizza on premise. Spoke with the health department. They're, you know, everything's going to them. Everything's being done 100%. The other thing is there is coming down the pipeline, the state has changed some of their laws for liquor permits, and it has made it a little different for the way we would have to operate. But by putting a kitchen on premise, or just having food on premise in that sense, it allows us to have the same permit that we have now. We're just looking forward to it's forward thinking. And like I said, Roseland, the nephews have really taken it over. They want to have another, because they've been doing so much delivery there that they just feel it'd be easier for them. And it would be easier for us now. We really don't have to have food trucks and rely on them, especially on, you know, the weekends during the summer. Right now it's been a little different because of COVID. So they don't have these parties as much, private parties where they make more money. But that's really the whole thing.
All right. Ryan, have you had a chance to review that yet? Because I remember they were before us and I just want to make sure parking calculation and things like that are all correct.
So Mr. Chairman, in discussions with Mr. DeSilva, I'm sorry, my daughter's getting in the way. Charlotte.
That's okay. Bring her on.
she's seven. In the prior applications, there's a couple different iterations of this. Mr. DeSilva had categorized tasting room as a restaurant style use with seating based on the square footage of the tasting room area. The kitchen was always shown as part of the plan. The parking was considered, at least for the portion of the tasting room, with food service intent. Although I will ask Mr. Silva to clarify this, and this is very important, is that the banquet room or the event room was categorized differently. That was categorized as assembly space, assembly area, essentially the logic being no food prep on site to support that use, which would have a different parking demand than an event or an assembly space. So I asked Mr. De Silva prior to tonight whether or not this kitchen would support that event room, or if this is simply to support the tasting room. And I would ask for him to clarify that for the commission on the record, so that there's no confusion about his intent with the service provided by the kitchen.
Yeah, sure. So that, just so you know, that room, as we discussed in the past, is a private event room. It is not open every night. It's not open to the public. So no, this food would not be, this is just for the tasting room. And that's all it is for. And like I said, some of it has to do with the legality of the liquor laws that are being changed and have been changed. They just haven't gone into effect yet. And with COVID, they were supposed to change in October, I think. It's now moved to December. But that is a private event room that does not, we will not be sitting it at night at all. Never will be. Somebody's got to rent it out for their event, their specific event. And so it's not for that room.
Ryan, is that your understanding?
I would like to mention also, we have been there 3 years. I don't think we've gotten one parking issue or complaint in regards to parking. When we had some events, the bigger events, we went to the town, we went to the police, we did the parking correctly. We, you know, let everybody know beforehand. Now, of course, right now in COVID, we're not allowed to do any of those things. And who knows in the future if they're going to be allowed, to be honest. But I think the history also shows it. And based on the parking formulation from the last time we were in, which everything was adjusted and looked at the way it's sitting today, including the kitchen, we have 11 extra spaces.
Okay. Ryan, is that your understanding of the there's no application, but what he wants to do? Well, and the parking calculations?
We just stated in the record, and his previous plans supported a restaurant-style use, which assumes or presumes some food preparation on site for the tasting room only. So if that's his contention, that this is going to be only support the tasting room and not the event room, then I don't believe that any changes, there'd be any fundamental difference in the use of the property from, at least from a parking perspective, of what we had previously seen. And on top of that, I would add, obviously, any kitchen work, any changes to the interior of the building, of course, have to be reviewed by the fire marshal, building official, and possibly right. WPCA, depending on.
I already spoke to WPCA also. Yep.
Okay.
Okay. You know, but that's stuff that's been dealt with during the normal building process or the build out process of his establishment. That's not for zoning. He's pretty much, the original question came up was, okay, if he's going to add this kitchen, does it change the parking calculations? And what we're hearing tonight, that it won't, because it will not support this event room, Bill, am I correct? And it will just support the tasting room, which means that there is no change. Correct? Bill?
Yes, correct.
Okay. Ryan, is that your understanding? Just so I make it clear for the record. I mean, that's all, just to understand that we're all on the same page here.
Yep, and this is all, you know, essentially, as long as the use is consistent with what he stated, is interior renovations.
Okay. Thank you. Thanks, Bill. Any other comments from any commission members? I know it's not a public hearing, but it's just, you know, it's for our benefit. Does anybody have any questions for the applicant? Dave?
Yeah. Does the parking calculations take into consideration the new offices on the second floor above the banquet room?
It does.
Okay. Could you provide the city engineer with a parking schedule so that we don't have to revisit this again with the parking?
Yes, and he has one.
Okay.
Mr. Kopchansky, I'd just like to, I believe at the 2019 application, there was an application for, I believe, an engineering consultant's office on the second story, which was included as part of the record at the time.
There may be more than that. That's up there.
Yes.
Okay. Thanks, Dave. Any other questions? Any questions from any other commission members? Any concerns?
Question, Ted.
Albert, go ahead.
Yes, how does supporting the events room affect the parking requirement?
I'd be happy to take that out. So the event room, the way that this was presented previously last year is that the event room would be hosting infrequent events, not used for daily purpose, not used for everyday operations. So at the time, the logic that we reviewed with Mr. De Silva about the parking requirement for the event room is that it would be perhaps more consistent with how your regulations require parking for assembly halls, theaters, churches, and other similar facilities, as opposed to a restaurant where food is served, prepared on premise, and open on a regular basis to the public. So I just want Mr. De Silva, again, which he's done for the record and made very clear, that this kitchen would not be used for everyday typical purposes of the event room and expand the everyday customer in and out activities to beyond what he's shown already.
That room is a private room. It will never be open to the public unless a private function comes in and rents the room. That is, it's never open to the public. And what's even better, it's been open for a year and a half and never had an issue. I mean, you could come and see that. I have contracts. I mean, I have contracts of when these people come and use it. And I also, you know, a lot of 501(c)(3)s or a lot of charities come in and it's a free room. They use it for meetings. They come in and say, hey, we need space, and we give it to them for free. And they just go in and have their meetings or, you know, events that they do. But no, it has not been open to the public on a public basis, only private, and will not be in the future. Just so you know, the kitchen that Roseland's doing is a pizza oven. It couldn't even do it. They're worried about just making enough pizza for our little spot. Because, you know, that kitchen's a small kitchen.
Right. I mean, I just thought, you know, if you had a special event and you wanted a pizza, you know, what the issue really was if they had a pizza come from your kitchen. That was my only.
It's not so much of the pizzas. It's more about the nature of the use of the event room and how it's open or not open to the public on a daily basis or a typical basis, similar to how a restaurant would function. So that's what I just wanted to make clear, is that the use is going to be consistent with how it was proposed and discussed last year. And
has not changed and will not change.
Okay. Albert, was your concern that event room would be open if there's expansion needed? Like if his tasting room is too big and then they expand in there and then the kitchen feeds all the space?
No. My concern was just if they were having a special event, I would just assume that a special event may have food there also. And I was just thinking he was cutting himself short saying that you can't use the kitchen.
Well, it's not so much use of the kitchen as much as it is the nature of the event room. Because if it's open to the public, it becomes part of the offering, say the tasting room, an expansion, right, then it has a different parking demand naturally that you would expect it to be used and frankly, more customers, I imagine, would be making use of it. So if it remains a private room, private facility, not open to the general public without a specific invitation, then I believe that the parking can be supported with the assembly style use, as opposed to a restaurant, which the tasting room has been categorized as a takeout style restaurant, and the parking supporting that portion of the building has been included in the plans to date.
Right. I mean, like I said, I just didn't see, if we know that room is being used just for a special event, why we're penalizing them saying that you can't serve?
No, I'll clarify that. It's not open to the public.
Right, I know.
If I have 25 people in that room, they could call, and they do it quite a bit. They call Maddie's, or they call Dewdrop, and they will deliver food to them. And that's still part of what happens in that room. So if they wanted, they could call Roseanne. Roseanne has delivered 10 pizzas to that room in the past for a private party. Remember, it's a private party, where if it's a public restaurant, it's a whole different, people come, sit, you know, they come single, like in single cars, the parking demand is higher, and I understand that. You know, we have other restaurants, we understand how that works. But as a party room or an assembly room, it's different because it's not open to the public. Somebody can't just walk down there and sit down and order pizza, and never will be.
No. I'm just saying that it's a private party.
They could order pizzas from Roseland.
I think that's an important clarification now, that, you know, it's just really to ensure that this kitchen would not result in expansion of the tasting room into the event room and changing the calculus on the parking. That's all.
Okay, that's fine if that's how the applicant wants to present it.
Well, again, if it does open up to the public, it does change the parking calculations, because then it's all public space. Correct. That's what I'm reading into. Right. Okay. Al, and this is one thing too. We had Bill come before us, and he wanted to come before us just for clarification purposes, because if we had questions, just like you asked, it gets cleared up in a kind of a public forum.
Okay.
Any other questions from any commission members? Any other questions? Okay, Bill, thanks. Thanks for coming before us.
Thank you, everybody. And if anybody has questions, everybody knows how to get a hold of me.
Take care, Bill. Okay, 9B, 824 referral from the Board of Aldermen for the sale of 9 Minerva Street, discussion and possible action. Is there somebody here from the city to present this before the board? Yes, Ben.
Mr. Chairman, it's Vince Moreno, Corporation Counsel. To the extent that Mr. Backlett, Chief of Staff, feels I'm omitting anything, I'm sure he will chime in. But essentially, from time to time, the city of Derby acquires property through the foreclosure process. And the city is not, in existence to own properties that it obtains through foreclosure. It's in the existence to provide services from the collection of real estate taxes. So while it was stated earlier that the subject property is in the downtown redevelopment area, that is a the downtown redevelopment process is, as this commission knows, a very fluid process with an applicant already having come before this body and with proposed text and whatnot. So the city wants to be in a position where it has moved the process toward the disposition moment, should it ever decide that it wants to sell. There has been no action by the Board of Aldermen at this point to sell the property, but before any such decision could be made, we would need a report in the affirmative or the negative from this body so that we know what the number of votes we need by the Board of Aldermen. So if this property were to be sold by the Board of Aldermen, Alderwomen, then that would be done in accordance with their rules, and there would be an opportunity for the public to be heard. But there's also, based upon the location where this property is, and with the adjacent property, potentially having some demolition work done, the city does see this as being a potential opportunity be ready should this parcel, because as you know, this area of the city is very tight with zero lot lines, and it might be an opportunity to enhance the value of the 9 Minerva Street by providing an enhanced value to an adjacent property. But as we sit here, all this is a parcel that the city has acquired through foreclosure and would ultimately want to sell one day. But the decision on who to sell it to or when to sell it would be up to the Board of Aldermen.
Okay. Thank you. Any comments from any commission members? Any concerns from any commission members? I mean, this is pretty straightforward. We've seen a lot of these before that come before us for the Board of Aldermen. They just look, basically they're looking for our opinion as to if they came before us, and I'll use, for example, since it seems to be a hotbed this evening, they can understand, well, geez, we'd like to do something with Wittick Park. you know, that would come before us and ask for our opinion, and then that goes back to the Board of Aldermen, affirmative or negative. So this is the same type of case. We don't, although we don't control disposition of municipal property, we do offer our opinion. And regardless of whether this is in the downtown, it's a small parcel and it might enhance the value of it. If it's put out to bid and married with another parcel, it might increase the value. And we are not a community that's in the habit of owning property. That sum it up, Mr. Council? Yes, sir. Thank you. So any other comments? Okay, that with that being said, I move that we offer an affirmative response back to the Board of Aldermen, which I'll reduce in writing and give everybody a copy of too, that we have no plans for the use of that property or see any plans in the near future for the use of that property or any other designation for the property. Is there a second?
Second.
Made and seconded. Any discussions? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Okay. Thank you. We'll move on to item number.
Can I ask who seconded that? I didn't catch.
Al Mislitz.
Al. Okay, we'll move on to item 9C, easement in favor of the City of Ansonia for work they are performing on Cole Lane, discussion and possible action. Is there someone here from the applicant who wishes to address the commission at this time?
Good evening, Mr. Chairman.
Hey, Don.
For the record, Donald Smith Jr., professional engineer with an office at 56 Greenwood Circle in Seymour. Here tonight representing the City of Ansonia and Ansonia Public Schools. Mr. Robert Evans, Director of Facilities for Ansonia Schools, is in attendance at tonight's meeting as well, representing the owner. Let me start by saying there is currently an emergency access way from the back of the high school out through Cole Lane, the unimproved section of Cole Lane, with a gate at the intersection of Sunset Drive and Cole Lane. That is an unimproved section. It's basically a gravel road. The city has made efforts to try and improve that gravel road so that in the event of an emergency at the high school, and let's just say school security in this day and age is much, much different than it was back in 1998. And single access schools are not the best plan. I need to have a secondary means of egress out of the campus in the event of an emergency or in the event of a traffic accident at the main entrance on Pulaski Highway, which has happened in the past. So as a result of a significant amount of stormwater that is directed into the unimproved section of Cole Lane, and approximately 60% of that stormwater comes from the City of Derby, and 40% comes from the City of Ansonia, that stormwater has eroded a gully that's 8 to 10 inches deep and 18 to 24 inches wide, and it essentially makes that emergency access way impassable in the event it needed to be. Am I allowed to share my screen? Or can you allow me to share my screen? Okay, I got it. This photograph basically represents what we are looking to solve as part of this project. These two photos are on the upper section of Wittick Park. You can see there's a lot of, let's call it millings and gravel here, and the leaves have been pushed out of the way, right? And then coming down the bank here, you can see a an eroded, somewhat of an eroded channel with all the leaves pushed out of the way. All of this material is the gravel from the unimproved section of Cole Lane. So the water comes from Cole Lane up at the Sunset Drive, starts up there. Bradley Terrace contributes to it, comes further down Cole Lane, stays in Ansonia. And then once it passes that last house on the edge of in Derby there on Bradley Terrace, that stormwater runoff takes a left turn and goes out of the right of way and flows into the city of Derby property, because that's the natural way that water is going to flow. It flows downhill. There's about 50 feet difference in elevation, not 100, but only about 50 feet difference in elevation from this area here, which is where we'll be constructing a level spreader, or at least we hope to be constructing a level spreader. But there's about 50 feet difference in elevation from this location here to the intersection of Cole Lane and Sunset Drive. All right, I'm going to unshare for a minute, and then I want to bring up the project plans, okay? Let me get to that. Let me go back to Zoom. I'm going to share again. Okay. Let me go up one sheet here. Okay. I met with the mayor as well as your city engineer about 6 months ago, when we first started planning this project, to get their input, let them know what we were doing and how it was going to be a benefit to both communities. But let me just zoom in a little bit more here, get us where we want to go here. Okay, so up at the intersection of Sunset Drive and Cole Lane as it currently exists, right over here at the beginning of the unimproved section of Cole Lane, there is a gate, okay, a chained gate. That gate will be replaced as part of the project, and it will be it'll be removed as part of the project and replaced and maintained, so we have a locked and secure access way. To note while we're here, okay, this line, let me blow it up a little bit more. So this line right here, okay, along the stone wall on the south side of Cole Lane, that's the street line or the town line between the city of Derby to the south in the city of Ansonia to the north. Okay, so this section of Cole Lane is all in Ansonia. This, and once we get up to the stone wall, once we get from the stone wall beyond, okay, there's about 10 feet here. That's actually city of Derby property. Before you get to those property owners that are on 143 Bradley Terrace, Mr. Golden, and this one over here, Mr. Lambert. So those properties, technically, there is a city of Derby strip between those properties and Cole Lane. So those property owners don't even abut Cole Lane. There's a city, this is owned by the city of Derby in here. We're not proposing any activity in there. We're proposing a slight widening at the beginning here to accommodate a 20-foot wide paved access way, a paved roadway. And we're going to be providing a curb on the south side of that road. Okay, because there is, again, there is no storm drainage. Storm drainage comes down Sunset, comes into the property, comes down Cole Lane, comes into the property. Okay. Crestwood Road. There's currently no access from Crestwood Road to the Cole Lane, to the current emergency access way. There's a bunch of boulders there in the grading. Those will be maintained, so there's no access between Crestwood Road and Cole Lane. Okay, we go down a little bit further. Here's Bradley Terrace, okay? current Bradley Terrace. There's no proposed access from Bradley Terrace to Coe Lane. Actually, Coe Lane here is, you know, is about a foot and a half. Okay, here's elevation 419.5. Here's Bradley Terrace at 418. So there's about a foot and a half drop here. And again, there's a number of boulders along that end to prohibit access from Bradley Terrace onto Coe Lane, you know, unless you want to drive over those boulders. And again, this still here is the City of Derby, City of Ansonia line. Okay, so this side, the downside of that line is in Ansonia. Above here, this is City of Derby. And then we get to the first property owner, Mr. Lazowski. Okay, his property starts back even farther than the stone wall. He doesn't even own to the stone wall. He starts further back from the stone wall. Okay. And then we keep going to the south. Going west. Let me go to the next page here. So hold on. Okay, so here's the end of Mr. Lazowski's property. Okay. This is all based on current field survey. So we found a monument over on Mr. Lazowski's property over there. There is the edge of the street line, or that's the street line between Ansonia and Derby. And again, we're still over in Ansonia, Coe Lane's in Ansonia. We're not quite over to the high school yet. But what we're doing is we continue to bring that runoff down Coe Lane. And then we've put in a paved leak off that's about 10 feet wide, so that runoff will come down Coe Lane, come off of Coe Lane. We've designed a riprap swale that runs, basically now we're this riprap swale is in City of Derby property, okay? Here is the limits of what we're proposing for an easement. This line up here is the limit of our easement, okay? The emergency access way will turn and go into the existing parking lot at the high school, right? Okay, so there's the parking lot at the high school. So this emergency access way and comes and turns into the high school, which is what it does right now. And the runoff right now basically is still coming down here, and then it gets into this area, and then it takes a left turn. So we're just formalizing where the runoff is currently going, putting it into a riprap swale, stopping the erosion, continuing down a riprap swale until we get to the flat area down the bottom, which was that first picture I showed you. And then we'll be putting in a 50-foot level spreader. This is the second picture was looking at this bank, which you can see the eroded path from that already. This is where that accumulated sediment is. So what we're doing is taking and formalizing the drainage outlet to accommodate the storm drainage that's currently there. The high school site is regulated by the Office of State Traffic Authority, OSTA. So there was a State Traffic Commission certificate granted for the project back in 1998 due to the square footage and the number of parking spaces. That certificate had the one entrance onto Pulaski Highway. So this is somewhat of a change. So we submitted the information to the Office of the State Traffic Authority, and they made an administrative decision that this emergency access way is allowed. They had no issue with it. They understand it's an emergency access way to be gated, will be maintained as a gated access way. Not going to be freely open to the students to come in or open it at 2 o'clock in the afternoon so the students can have two ways to get out. This is an emergency access way. In the event there's an incident on the high school property or an incident at Pulaski Highway in the high school driveway. And what we're looking to do again is to basically formalize the drainage that currently exists and deal with it and treat it properly.
The easement is back over here, yes. Basically, just because we kept the straight line, you want to make it less, we can take and jog it in here. This curly Q line here basically represents the clearing that will happen to accommodate that. So we're solving an issue for both communities. We're solving an environmental issue that's erosion on Coal Lane, sedimentation down here. The drainage is currently going there, is going to continue to go there. I'm not sure if I have it. Let me just zoom in here. Ryan was able to provide me the record map for Whittick Park, okay? And from this corner of the level spreader, okay, we've got approximately 175 feet to the nearest inland wetland going to the south. Okay, that was, Ryan discussed it with the wetlands chair. We're certainly outside of the 100-foot regulated area for inland wetlands, so there was no inland wetlands permit required. Council is correct. This is in a municipal improvement. This is an 8-24 referral. I guess we apologize for the confusion, and you know, hope the neighbors are not too upset, but you know, we're just trying to make sure the students are safe and the stormwater that basically currently exists gets treated properly so that we don't continue to have that erosion problem. We have an access way that can be used at a moment's notice if need be. It's really plain and simple. It's going to continue to operate as it currently exists, as a gated emergency access way. And the only difference is we're now taking care of the storm drainage. Again, 60% of which comes from the city of Derby. This project is being funded 100% by the city of Ansonia, including the work in the city of Derby. And basically, all we're looking for from the city of Derby is an easement so that we can go in and construct these improvements to direct the stormwater where it's currently going and creating an environmental issue. So it's, I think, you know, a lot of to do about nothing, so to speak, but.
Well, Don, okay, with all due respect, I saw something on your map here. Why not have the ingress and egress through Crestwood in Ansonia? It borders right against Crestwood and keeps the entire project in Ansonia. Forget about the-
The issue with the storm drainage, Mr. Chair.
Again, the concern from every resident here was about the possibility of traffic flow. That eliminates a problem right there. It goes back out to Crestwood to Ansonia. Why? I have a question for you, Don. Wait a minute. I have a question for you. It Crestwood abuts Coal Lane. Did you go to the Crestwood residence in the Ansonia and they didn't want you to make a U-turn? That's why we're through Derby. It's a concern I have. You can keep it in one municipality. I understand about the water runoff. We can address that. We have two issues here. One major issue is Crestwood. Look at the road. It borders on Crestwood. You move rocks and you can go right out into Ansonia. You don't have to have the, it will make every resident that spoke from Derby today happy that there's no, in any way, shape, or form, a chance of ingress or egress through Derby. It solves that. Every person that spoke tonight said the same thing about ingress and egress. Okay, even though there's a gate there now, it's unimproved. But once you improve it, it's an easy ingress and egress. It borders Crestwood, which is all in Ansonia. Why not keep it all in Ansonia? That's one glaring issue with this plan that I have right away. That's why I wanted to hear it and the public to hear it, because that's a concern I have. Why didn't this get thought through? So forget about the drainage issue. We can deal with that separately and review that separately. But I will tell you, this plan in no way, shape, or form can I support it. In affirmative or negative, I would just say no, period. I cannot, in good conscience, support the residents of the city of Derby and intermunicipality between Derby and Ansonia, I understand the brotherhood there, but I also have to take care of our residents. And there's no way I can support this. And then there's no sense in even going forward and talking about drainage. Why can't you go out Crestwood and just keep that gate there? That solves the problem.
The end of Coe Lane, this section of Coe Lane is in Ansonia. So we're extending Coe Lane and connecting it with Coe Lane in Ansonia.
Why not go through Crestwood Road and not do that? Why not? I'm asking the question of the applicant. Why not go through Crestwood and exit back through Ansonia? Why Coe Lane and upset our residents? I don't think you have an answer for that. You're probably saying because this is easier, and that's not an answer.
No, not necessarily.
No. Then why? I can't. There's no way I can support this. I don't know how any other commission members feel, but there's no way I can support this. Forget about talking about drainage.
And I would agree wholeheartedly. That was like number two or number one point that I put down.
Glaring.
I think since we're seeing this for the first time, we're going to definitely need some time to look at this and have Ryan review it. I do have a couple other comments that in. And to start off, Don, I congratulate the city of Ansonia for wanting to address the runoff issue, because ultimately I believe that runoff is increasing the sedimentation to the lake, and that's going to be a detriment that both towns are going to have to deal with probably in the near future. But that aside, that one good point, I agree wholeheartedly with Ted's discussion about why not Crestwood. The other concerns I have is, why does it need to be hard pavement? Why can't it be, and I know we've talked about this, and I'm a mechanical engineer, not a civil engineer, but I know that there is pavement out there that allows drainage through it.
Right. I had the same concern, Steve.
Yeah. And then we have a big problem in Whittock Park with ATVs using that Coe Lane access already. And I'm not sure whether they're coming from Crestwood or Sunset or Bradley, but they're tearing up the upper portion of that Whittock Park and definitely increasing the erosion. And so I would like to see any plan here also address that issue with some kind of barricades, probably more boulders, to try to decrease that access quite drastically. And then I have one last question is, Don, what's the distance from the leveling pond or leveling area to the actual upper reservoir?
I don't know. It was 175 feet to the nearest wetland.
Brian, are you familiar with?
I don't have the exact number, Steve. It's quite a bit further than the edge of the wetland, though. And we did look at it. We did look at this with Mr. Smith, and essentially, you know, the vast majority of the work that they're proposing is in an area that currently exists today as an emergency access. So fundamentally, I'd say the change that they're looking to make is to essentially make the emergency access more robust in terms of its longevity, in terms of, and reduce the maintenance requirements that they currently have right now with the gravel essentially eroding. So they're not fundamentally changing the direction where any of the emergency access goes today. I did look at the drainage computations with Mr. Smith. I tend to think that this will ultimately be an improvement and tremendously reduce sedimentation into the city of Derby property. And I think there are two separate issues here that you have to consider. The first is what Ansonia is looking to do within Ansonia limits. And that is where your jurisdiction sort of changes and what they're looking to do within the city of Derby. And what they're looking to do within the city of Derby consists of drainage upgrades or drainage improvements, drainage modifications. So I understand your concerns and the members' concerns about access onto Coe Lane versus Crestwood or versus any of the other streets along that path. But I would support the notion that this is not fundamentally changing the direction of where the emergency access is today. This is really trying to correct the maintenance headache.
Let me address that. Along with not fundamentally changing it, I understand because it exists today. There's a gate there and exists today. But if they're going to improve that ingress and egress, then it's easier for people to use and they'll want to use that as opposed to not wanting to use it today or not opening it up today. It's just going to be more of a space and at the detriment to Whittick Park on the Derby side, where you want 175 feet of clearing space, which is a lot. I mean, Whittick Park is a very, very, very sensitive issue for the residents of the city of Derby, all residents. And we have to look at that. And now we have an opportunity where Ansonia would like something. Our friends would like something from us, meaning easement to improve. Well, maybe we would like something more than a dollar from them is to change the direction of the access to Crestwood and not out Coe Lane. I mean, what's wrong with asking that? That's why it's before this commission. Okay? Because in consideration for a dollar is to have access. I'm not sure I can't support that.
I think the consideration is much more than a dollar, ultimately, Mr. Chair.
Excuse me, you had asked
why we don't have a closed drainage system. Okay, a closed drainage.
I think it's two separate issues. And one, I want to address the ingress and egress because that's what our residents were concerned about. And they all stated in the public portion, every single person was concerned about ingress and egress. Once you improve something, it's easier access. It's easy to just open it up because it's easy to get in and out. Now you're right, it's a pain in the neck. Okay, that's one concern.
And God forbid there's an incident on the high school property and you can't get an emergency vehicles in there because it's an eroded mess and you can't get an emergency vehicle in there. Well, you want that on your shoulders?
No, but I'll go back to one of our residents said, why didn't you plan
that's
this
why,
when you build a high school?
That's why we are proposing a gated access way as it currently is. That's why we went to the state of Connecticut and amended our original certificate on this to include this as a gated access way.
But then why can't we do that through Crestwood?
Right.
And that would make a lot of residents happy in the city of Derby in exchange for improving the drainage. You get what you want. We get what we want. Why can't we do that? It's all up for discussion. It's not you tell us what to do and we have to bow down and agree to it with all due respect, Don. And don't put the security of residents of a high school on my shoulders. Never do that again, or you won't get anything positive out of this commission, or not on me. You might from other members, but not out of me. So don't ever do that again.
Yeah. Thanks, Ted. I agree.
Mm-hmm. It's the wrong way to approach this when you're asking for something and you disrespect this commission in front of its residents.
I apologize.
I have nothing else to say in this matter. You know my concerns. Take it back to your board in there because you're not getting anything affirmative out of me this night. Tonight. I'll table it. You're not getting a negative either. Member Jalowick asked some questions this evening that he'd like to see. So address them.
The question was why there is not a closed drainage system or why we couldn't put in a drainage system. And that is because of cost. And it's not all of City of Ansonia's stormwater. So we're not asking for any cost participation or cost sharing of the improvements. 60% of the stormwater that goes down that street is from the city of Derby.
Don, I asked why is this being paved this time versus the gravel base that was there that allowed there to be natural drainage? Would it appear that you've increased the storm water? I'm not going to try to argue the point. I mean, I think that's for Ryan and you to answer to us next month, but I don't understand why that needs to be hard paved.
Because there is no closed drainage system and leaving it as a gravel surface due to the amount of water that goes down that road, it would be eroded. So the way around that, we have a cross pitch to the road with a curb on the south side so that the road basically acts as the impervious drainage ditch, so to speak, that won't erode.
okay? We don't want to put in 700 or 600 feet of drainage just to get to the top of the bank, and then another 300 to get down to the level spreader. But there'd be 600 feet of drainage, storm drainage required just to get to the beginning of the riprap channel.
You'd cut that distance by going to Crestwood.
The storm drainage is generated from Sunset and Coe Lane further this way. Whether this road turns to Crestwood or not, your storm drainage is starting up here. And then it's further added to coming off of Bradley Terrace.
That's why I asked the question if what's beyond Crestwood to the egress and Coe Lane isn't really where the problem is, then what's the problem with changing the road up to ingress and egress through Crestwood? And then we can have the improvements, since you say that 60% of this water runoff is caused by Derby. And then you get what you want and we get what we want. Our residents get what they want.
You still have this area to deal with up in here. Okay. You still have the storm drainage issue to deal with up in here and the gully that's up in here.
According to you, that's not where the major issue is. It's downstream.
If I could chime in here.
Sure.
Much of the drainage issues begins up on Sunset and in other areas of Ansonia and Derby. It continues to the west down the gravel portion of Coe Lane. So while the discussion about the emergency access into Crestwood Road, I'll defer to you, Mr. Chairman, and members of the commission in terms of the preference. The drainage still would have to be addressed to a certain degree between Crestwood and Sunset, because that is where a lot of the water, frankly, comes from and causes erosion right at the beginning of the gravel access drive all the way down to Whittock Park. So that would, regardless of where a gate is not. There still would preferably be some measures to limit erosion from that stretch between Crestwood and Sunset down to the paved or presumably paved portion of the gravel emergency access drive. So you don't want to ignore it. Is my point. But I'll defer to you on the preference on where gated access may or may not come.
I didn't say anything about ignoring it. I'm asking for a trade-off. They want something, they're asking for something, and we ask for something in return, and he doesn't want to hear it. So, you know, it's real simple. With that being said, I'll make a motion now. I move that we table this to our regularly scheduled monthly meeting in 2 weeks.
Could some of the other members chime in on this, please?
Yeah, go ahead, Dave.
I have two questions. I have one question first for Don Smith. And the second question is going to be for our Ryan McAvoy. Don, have you explored alternatives to the Whittock Park location for your storm drainage system?
Yes. Well, there's two issues with that. Yes. One, we're now changing drainage areas. Okay. But then to take that drainage that's currently flowing to the south.
Yeah. Flowing from the west and then bring it down south, bring it north towards.
Right, but it comes down, it's currently coming here and then going that way. We would have to continue it further down this way, and it just gets to be a much longer route.
Let me ask you, what's the activity that's currently going on there behind the Ansonia High School? You have a excavation.
They are building a storage garage for their maintenance vehicle, or for their maintenance group, their maintenance vehicles. They're building a storage garage that's over in this area next to the parking lot.
How are they going to take care of that stormwater runoff?
That stormwater runoff will go through a detention pond, and then it discharges into the storm drainage system on the high school campus.
Mm-hmm.
That then discharges and ultimately still comes south to Whittock Park.
So why can't you direct this water from Coe Lane into that system?
Because this area is too flat, or is all flat, and it's basically, we're just taking the water where it's currently going. It really doesn't,
we don't
did go this way. So we're trying to change the course of the water There is not really a nearby wetland to get it to or a level spreader that could be established that way.
I did
look at bringing it to the north, and it's just not feasible.
Uh-huh. Ryan, I have a question for you.
Yes.
Are you with me, Ryan?
Yes.
Whittock Park is in the open space zone, isn't it?
Yes.
Yeah. Does the open space zone have a permitted use for the construction of a storm water drainage system that's not associated with the improvement on that property?
That a controlled storm drainage outlet is not a use that's defined in the zoning regulations, Dave.
It's an accessory use, isn't it?
I don't believe so.
Yeah, I think it is. Okay. And this is not an activity that is occurring in Derby or on Whittock Park. This is an activity that's off property. Yet the stormwater drainage system is being built on Whittock Park, which is in an open space zone. I don't see it as a permitted use or as a special exception use. Now, if you know, you could answer that, or somebody could answer that, it'll shed some light on it for us. But at this point, I don't see how we could even act on this 8-24 referral, because we don't even know if this use could be done in Whittock Park.
Well, Dave, I'd be happy to look into that further, but typically speaking, when you have a natural drainage channel, natural flow of stormwater, the act of improving it to the point where it reduces erosion is not a use typically covered by special exception, by site plan, or by anything in any of the zones in Derby. This is really an effort to improve a current erosion issue that will continue to be an issue absent any modifications. Now, with respect to your question before about bringing it elsewhere, bringing the storm drainage elsewhere, that's something we tend to try to avoid generally speaking when it comes to drainage patterns, because bringing drainage where it doesn't go today to somewhere else is considered to some degree or another a diversion, not in the technical sense, but there can be unintended consequences from bringing a fair amount of stormwater to an area where it doesn't go today, and trying to control it elsewhere. It will change hydraulic patterns, hydrologic patterns, perhaps the downgrading wetland, which is 175 feet away, could theoretically be degraded by the reduction in the amount of water that would otherwise get to it today. So we as engineers, we generally try to avoid that and maintain drainage patterns to the extent that they exist so that we don't create any unintended consequences by redirecting it elsewhere.
Ryan, I would accept that explanation if all other things remain equal, but we're talking about building a paved roadway 20 feet wide, about 400 feet, which is going to drastically increase the runoff into the city of Derby.
Don, do you want to address that? And this is something we can provide to the commission, but Don did provide me months ago with his hydraulic analysis, providing computations in support of the design of the level spreader, which is essentially a 2-foot depression at the discharge location.
I don't have a question on the engineering of it, Ryan. I believe it'll work. Don Smith is a great engineer. The point is, we are redirecting the flow of water onto Derby property, which currently is.
It goes there today. That's where all the Sunset, Bradley Terrace, Coe Lane, and some portions of the streets in Ansonia, perhaps part of even up to Finney Street Extension, portions of it all drain down Coe Lane, the gravel driveway today, and discharge in the same manner, in the same location that runoff from the proposed improvements goes on the plan. So I can confirm that Don is not looking to redirect any flow as part of the proposed plan. It all goes there today.
I just loaded and just shared my the survey from Whittock Park. Okay, so lower right corner, here's Bradley Terrace, right? Here is Cole Lane, Ansonia side. Cole Lane is in Ansonia. The Derby side is on the south side, okay? The area of the riprap channel, okay, would be coming down right in here. All right, you'll notice that the storm drainage from Bradley Terrace comes down between these two lots and runs down over Whittock Park property before it gets to this wetland. But we'd be coming in, and I believe it's right in here that we'd be constructing that level spreader. And that's the 175 feet to the nearest tip of the wetlands. All right, I think the actual water is way down here, okay? The actual reservoir, okay? There's the actual edge of water right there, okay? That's way down there. So there's braided wetlands channels going up that bank, okay? And we're talking about this corner over in here that would feed into that wetlands, which then feeds all the way down into the reservoir. It's the project is a benefit to both communities.
Do any other members have any questions?
I have one more question, Mr. Chair. Is Derby going to be allowed a curb cut onto that Cole Lane extension from Whittock Park?
If you want one, sure.
Well, maybe when we get into site plan review or we get...
There is no site plan review, sir. There is no site plan review. Vince, you know, this is, can you please reiterate?
Oh, I'm not aware of that.
This is an 8-24 referral. This is not a site plan review.
I understand that this is not a site plan review. It's an 8-24 referral. But I would think that if you do get the easement and you get permission to go ahead with this project, that we would have an opportunity to look at it in more detail in the site plan review.
I've been working with your city engineer on this with for 6 months now.
Yeah, but he's not.
6 months ago, so Vince, I don't know.
You disturbing more than a half an acre, Don?
I'm sorry?
So disturbing more than a half an acre of land, are you not? So it requires by state statute soil and erosion control plan?
Yes.
Which is reviewed by the Planning and Zoning Commission.
Don, how much disturbance is proposed within the city of Derby limits?
Off the top of my head, I don't have that number on the top of my head.
You're asking 0.57 acres.
That's the area of the easement they're requesting, not the area of disturbance that they're requesting.
Oh, well, they don't show the area of disturbance.
That's why I asked them.
I show the clearing limit. Let me bring that back up. Let me get to the right drawing here. Just give me a minute here. Mm-hmm. So so we're showing, we show approximately a little over 10,000 square feet of disturbance in the city of Derby. You have basically 20 feet wide by 350 feet long. So that would be 7,000 square feet. And then you have approximately 50 by 70 for another 3,500, totaling 10,500 square feet, or approximately less than one quarter of an acre.
So you don't have a soil and erosion control plan, Don?
Yes, we do. This is silt fence here. We still have a soil erosion control plan. We have silt fence illustrated here. There's other silt fence shown. We have the erosion control notes are part of the plan. So we do have an erosion control plan. It's not required to be certified by either Planning and Zoning Commission, but we do have a soil erosion control plan. Yes, we do.
Mr. Chairman, quick question and comment, and I might have missed this. Is there a gate on this side as well? Or is it just at the end of Cole Lane?
There is not a gate shown at this end. We've had some discussions with the school and, you know, either a gate or some boulders to control this. Yes, that's could be provided or would be provided, yes.
Yeah, my concern is, you know, turning this into a, if it gets paved, a hangout, you know, we talked about the ATVs, whatever.
Understood. And, you know, and Sonia has that same concern, okay? You go down Cole Lane and you take a right, you're in Ansonia. You go down this unimproved section. So Ansonia Emergency Services has those same concerns. Go down Cole Lane and take a left, you're in Derby. Go down Cole Lane, you're in, take a right. So, you know, our emergency services have those same concerns, have brought up that same concern. So, yes, we'll basically, you know, leave this. And again, it's pretty hard to stop a dirt bike or a ATV. You know, an ATV, you can, you know, put the rocks a little closer. But, you know, if they're on dirt bikes, pretty much impossible to stop dirt bikes from getting through any place. So, you know, again, going back to those first pictures that I showed you, which is this area here, and basically the rundown into it where the water currently runs, you know, we're not trying to be God. We just want to take care of the water where it's going, and it's going downhill. We did. We honestly looked at alternatives. This was not our first choice. We did look at alternatives in trying to keep that storm drainage in the city of Ansonia. It's just that it's much further away over here. And again, it's changing watersheds.
All right. My battery's running low, so I either got to find a plug or we got to practice up.
Okay. I'll ask the question again. Was the subject of the Crestwood ingress and egress discussed at all in these plans? Because it would be my understanding, Ryan, and correct me if I'm wrong, that we can still move forward with drainage or improvements if the road was moved to take care of any stormwater that started here and went to the what they want to get done in the city of Derby at the other end. Has that been discussed?
Yeah. Oh, no, the thought of the gated access under Crestwood, I'm not aware of that. I'm not aware of that discussion taking place.
That was directed at Don Smith, who's representing Ansonia now. Thanks, Ryan. Has the discussion been brought up internally in Ansonia about changing the road? Forget about the drainage, because I agree with Steve. There's two separate issues here. There's the drainage and the ingress and egress. Has it been discussed? And if it has, why not there?
Let me stop sharing. Bob Evans, do you want to respond? Bobby?
Good evening, Chair. We did actually look at that, and we thought that the swing of an emergency vehicle, a fire truck trying to get around that corner of 20 feet to make that swing on Crescent to Colane would be more than impossible to do, given the situation. It's a straighter shot coming straight down Colane than it would be trying to take that turn onto from Crescent. So we did actually look at that as we move forward, and we looked at this as the best option, and we presented it to our boards. And like Don said, we did talk to the chair and the arms and the medical rescue unit, and they are looking to have us add a little bit of a little less elevation down at the end of Colane so that they could get their ATVs in there in the event of an emergency like we had a few years ago here at the high school in the back parking lot back there. So we did look at it. To answer your question, we did look at it, and we didn't think it was feasible at that time, and we move forward.
Thank you, Mr. Evans. Do we still have outstanding issues that we'd like our engineer to check into or ask for Mr. Smith to come back next month or in 2 weeks?
Well, we need Mr. Chairman, I think we need an opportunity to look at these plans closer. This is our first shot at them.
I agree.
It's a pretty important decision to make, and
I agree.
Want to look at them twice, okay?
Again, I made a motion before, and I'll do it again. I move that we table this decision until our regularly scheduled monthly meeting in 2 weeks. Is there a second?
Okay. I second that motion.
There's a second. Any discussions? All in favor? Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Aye. Okay. Item number 10, payment of bills if deemed correct. I move that we pay bills if deemed correct. Is there a second?
Second.
Made and seconded. Any discussion? All in favor? Aye.
Aye.
Motion to adjourn.
I'm moved.
Seconded.
Yes.
Any discussion? All in favor? Aye.
Aye.
Good night.
Thank you.
Bye.
9:17 p.m.